You're listening to SBS News.
The United Nations Human Rights Office has voiced concern about the death sentences imposed by pro-Moscow rebels in Ukraine on three captured foreigners who were fighting on the Ukrainian side. A court in the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic found the two Brits and one Moroccan guilty of seeking the violent overthrow of power. The men were also convicted of mercenary activities and terrorism. UN Rights Office spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani noted that according to the Ukrainian military, all were from Ukraine's armed forces.
We are concerned. The UN Human Rights Office is concerned about the so-called Supreme Court of the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic sentencing three servicemen to death. Now, these were, as you said, citizens of foreign countries who were captured in Mariupol for being mercenaries. According to the chief command of Ukraine, all the men were part of the Ukrainian armed forces. And if that is the case, they should not be considered as mercenaries.
Ms. Shamdasani says that since 2015, the office has observed that the judiciary in rebel-run separatist areas has not followed crucial fair trial guarantees.
Since 2015, we have observed that the so-called judiciary in these self-proclaimed republics has not complied with essential fair trial guarantees, such as public hearings, independence, impartiality of the courts, and the right not to be compelled to testify.
She added that such trials against prisoners of war amount to a war crime. UK Foreign Minister Liz Truss says the judgment against the two Brits, Aidan Oslin and Sean Pinner, is an egregious breach of the Geneva Convention, and she's spoken to her Ukrainian counterpart about the pair. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says he won't interfere.
At the moment, all the processes that you mentioned are based on the legislation of the Donetsk People's Republic because the crimes were committed on the territory of the DPR. Everything else is already a subject for speculation. I would not interfere with the work of the judicial and law enforcement system of the Donetsk People's Republic.
British Defence Secretary Ben Wallace met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Friday during a previously unannounced visit to Kyiv, as well as with Ukrainian Defense Minister Oleksiy Reznikov. Mr. Wallace says the purpose of the visit was to take further steps to really help Ukraine win as the country continues to battle the Russian invasion.
The purpose, Mr. President, of me coming this time was not to have a nice drink with Oleksiy or a nice meeting with yourself. It was to take further steps to really help Ukraine win.
Mr. Wallace also says he feels Ukraine is capable of pushing Russia away from the country's east, adding a regime can be driven to a place where it slightly collapses in its military.
We think it starts with what is right and wrong. And we think it's not about the odds. It's not about, you know, I think we can push Russia out of Donbass. I think you can get a regime to a place where it slightly collapses in its military. Military get exhausted, as you know. And Britain never gives up.
This comes as hundreds of people continued to flee intense fighting in eastern Ukraine as forces battle for the control of several key cities and villages in the Luhansk and Donetsk regions. Dozens of Ukrainians left on a special evacuation train, departing from the city of Pokrovsk, heading to Dnipro and other cities further west, with 300 men, women, and children on board. Svetlana Kaplan decided to leave with her family as shelling had finally reached their neighborhood in the city of Krasnorivka, about 20 kilometers from the city of Donetsk in control of pro-Russian separatist forces.
They started shelling, and then the shelling intensified. We have been in the war for 8 years already. We live on the front line now. The kids are worried all the time. They are afraid to sleep at night, so we decided to take them out of Krasnohorivka city, away from the shelling.
The self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic reported that the Ukrainian army had been intensively shelling the Donetsk region. Meanwhile, Swedish Foreign Affairs Minister Ann Lind says Sweden is seeking to make progress in talks with Turkey on Ankara's objections to the Nordic countries' application to join the NATO Defense Alliance.
Unity is required within NATO to go further in the processing of Sweden's and Finland's applications. Our application has received broad support among NATO members. Sweden will in solidarity contribute to the security of the whole of NATO, including Turkey's. Our ambition is to, in a constructive spirit, make progress on the questions that Turkey has raised. Sweden strongly condemns terrorism. New and stricter terrorism legislation will come into effect on July 1st and the government is preparing the further tightening of terrorism legislation. There should be no doubt that Sweden also henceforth will stand together with like-minded in the fight against terrorism.
Meanwhile, Ukraine has pleaded for support to combat deadly diseases and evacuate the citizens who remain in Mariupol as the city fights an outbreak of dysentery and cholera. The mayor of Mariupol, Vadim Boychenko, has told national television that the illnesses were the result of residents being forced to drink water from wells contaminated by corpses because the city had no running water or functioning sewerage systems. Mr. Boychenko is urging the United Nations and the International Committee of the Red Cross to work on establishing a humanitarian corridor to allow remaining residents to leave the city, which is now under Russian control. Ukraine says about 100,000 people are still in Mariupol, which had a population of about 430,000 before the war. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.